I mean, besides the lakes and the woods and everything else, a big part of Turtle River is the people who live there. Just thinking of near our home, Gary and Cindy across the street. I mean, Gary alone was just such an amazing person, a great neighbor, and just, I mean, besides a great fisherman and everything else, just super talented guy. And then you look at all the other artisan type people that live in Turtle River. It really is per capita. I think we're pretty high on talented people, arts people, musicians, and all of that live in the Turtle River area.
It's shocking. Potters, jewelers.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Musicians, inventors like you. There's a creative energy.
There is.
We did want Turtle River initially, but there are like never houses for sale in Turtle River. So we were looking and there just nothing came up. And so the second this did, we moved on it.
I've been a fan of Turtle River since my youth. It's just a different kind of lifestyle. And I think that for creative people, it really helps to have that sense of calm.
My dad worked in Bemidji at General Mills, which was a factory where they made flour and feed and stuff like that. They had this place up here where they done the grinding. My dad worked there, but he worked for WPA before that. That was back in Depression days, because he was young then. And then he got that job in Bemidji about in 30. Five or something like that. It was just before I was born.
So you must like Turtle River because you've been here all these years.
Well, yeah. I just missed 20 years when I got out of the service. I got married and then my wife and I lived in other parts of the state. The first 20 years, worked our way back. But that's been just about 40 years ago when I built this house on the land. The old house was back over here. And we built this one on top of the hill.
Why did you want to come back?
Well, because I was born and raised here and liked it.
This road wasn't really set up for winter travel, right? It was just impassable in the spring.
Oh, right? My gosh.
You'd have to park half a mile out and drive the tractor in.
Did you have to do that when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. We had a mudmobile that was literally half a car frame that was towed behind a tractor in the spring when the road became completely impassable mud. We'd jump in the mudmobile in our school clothes, Mom as well, and Dad would drive the tractor out to the end of the road where we'd get in our actual vehicle and drive to work in our nice work and school clothes. I remember the mudmobile very well. But one of the things when you asked about talking about family and history and living in Turtle River specifically, because I always knew I wanted to be in Bemidji, but it was also strangely Turtle River. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to be in Turtle River specifically. My grandmother, my dad's mother, went to school in the Turtle River Schoolhouse. That was behind what is now Old Salem Hall. If you go, you can still see the sort of foundation, and I think that there's even like remnants of the boiler or something, like the stove or something that's there. And she went her whole school in this one-room schoolhouse at Turtle River. And she lived on Lake Beltrami growing up. And her father, my great-grandfather, he and his dad emigrated from Norway. And he and his dad lived in that Lake Beltrami area. And she was raised on that property. There was a plot of land that spanned both Beltrami Lake and Mulville Lake that my great-grandfather lived on and was raised on, that then split up to his children, and that all five of them, I think except for one, ended up building or living on that same plot of land,
mm-hmm.
and still do. The Linseths in that area.
But it's interesting even that they would, that's quite a ways away from here.
Right.
Right? So these kids would go to school in Turtle River from
yes.
Lake Beltrami, and they did a team of horses, right?
Did a team of horses.
That was Joe Furseth and his wife, Anna Carlson. You also heard from Leroy Souter and Jeremiah Lind and his partner, Ruth Baker. And the first voice you heard in that series was that of Mark Schultz. All of those voices came from people who call Turtle River home. Turtle River is a tiny town about 17 miles northeast of Bemidji. It is nestled in the woods along the shores of and adjacent to Turtle River Lake. The population of Turtle River, the town itself, is right around 80 people, and it's approximately 1.2 square miles in area. The town of Turtle River is part of what is called Turtle River Township, and Turtle River Township is approximately 35 square miles, and it includes several lakes that combined make up around 5 square miles of water. The population of Turtle River Township itself is closer to 1,000 people, and Turtle River is home to a lot of beautiful experiences. The woods are accessible. There are incredible cross-country ski trails, hiking and biking trails, lakes, of course, for paddleboarding, canoeing, kayaking, skiing, fishing, all kinds of outdoor fun. And there's a pizza joint, a gas station, a liquor store. There's a restaurant called the Chop House that serves everything from sushi to ribeye. And there's a local bar called The Other Place, which offers pretty much anything else you'd want to have. In Turtle River, they have the New Salem Church, where masses are held. And they also have the Old Salem Church, which has now become an event space that hosts all kinds of things, original plays, musical concerts, art exhibits, 4-H meetings, wedding receptions, birthday parties. It is really a community center right in the heart of this really cool community. And Turtle River gets its name from the Turtle River itself. It begins at Lake Julia, which is around 15 miles north of Bemidji. And then the river flows through the Three Island Lakes and into Turtle River Lake. And then the Turtle River itself flows out of the Turtle River Lake and into the Chippewa National Forest, where it moves then through Big Rice Lake and Kitchee and finally into Cass Lake and on into the Mississippi River. The Turtle River was used extensively as a travel route by the Native Americans long before Europeans began settling in the area. And fur traders were, of course, among the first Europeans to use the Turtle River. And back in 1680, explorers were searching for the source of the Mississippi River, and they misidentified Turtle River Lake as the source of the Mississippi. And it wasn't until the 1830s when they realized Itasca was the source of the Mississippi River. When I moved to northern Minnesota 15 years ago, I would hear about Turtle River and the Turtle River area, but I really didn't know what that was all about. Well, now that I've met many people who live there and spent quite a bit of time in the area, I refer to it as the land of unicorns and rainbows. It is a special northern Minnesota place. It's home to world-class jewelers and musicians and potters and textile artists and boat builders and inventors and artisans of all kinds. It's a place where family connections run deep, and many people have stories of their relatives immigrating and homesteading on the land. Yet there is a sustained reverence for the Native American community that has called this area home for centuries. Turtle River is tiny in population, but huge in spirit. It is creative, it's warm, it's an innovative community with a back-to-the-basics mentality. During this episode of Let's Visit, you will meet an entrepreneur who has written books and built canoes and made and sold pasties. You will meet people brand new to Turtle River, and you will also meet people who have had family in the area for generations. I'm Katie Carter, your host. Come on along with me. Let's visit Turtle River. Mark Schultz went to college in Bemidji. He worked in the Peace Corps and then, along with his wife Peggy, moved to Florida and then New York, and finally they returned to northern Minnesota. He's an entrepreneur who runs Backwood Basics, where he invents and sells all kinds of things from bottom-watering planter systems to composters, raised beds, automatic poultry waterers. And he's written a book about canoe building. He's built his own camper that can be taken on and off of a trailer. He's a guy who's always thinking about a better way to do things. And he lives in Turtle River. Sounds like you were kind of intentional about moving to Turtle River.
Right, yeah. We love the lakes and have good friends that live there and stuff. So that was just where we wanted to settle. I mean, besides the lakes and the woods and everything else, a big part of Turtle River is the people who live there. I was on the committee on the ground floor of Turtle River Day when it first started. So kind of my slogan at that time that I wanted was, we're more than just bars. And back then there were, let's see, one had burned down, so there were still three, you know, three bars within walking distance. So, you know, back then that was a big part of life in Turtle River. But then the other two burned down, so what was the other place became the only place, and then the Chop House was built after that. But Turtle River is a lot more than just bars. I mean, they're just thinking of near our home, and Gary and Cindy across the street. I mean, Gary alone was just such an amazing person, a great neighbor, and just, I mean, besides a great fisherman and everything else, just...
And you're talking about Gary Berger... Gary Berger of the Monks, and Gary Berger, who was also a sound engineer for many musicians in our area before he passed away.
Super talented guy. And then you look at all the other artisan-type people that live in Turtle River. It really is, per capita, I think we're pretty high on talented people, arts people, musicians, and all of that live in the Turtle River area.
It's shocking. Potters, jewelers.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Musicians, uh-huh. Inventors like you. There's a creative energy.
There is.
Yep. What do you attribute to that?
I don't know.
It's pretty cool.
It is.
It's a pretty cool
place. Yeah.
Just from my experience, there's so many special things that happen. Turtle River Days, house concerts, backyard movies, events at the Old Salem Hall. A lot of different kinds of events at the mm-hmm. Old Salem Hall. Everybody seems to have a sauna.
We do.
It's just a good place to be.
It really is.
Do you guys have a second house that you rent out sometimes?
We have a cabin.
Yeah.
That actually was the original. Our parent company's called Summer Kitchen Supplies, which is a corporation. And that started in that little cabin. And we were selling back then home food processing equipment and supplies, things like sausage stuffers and vegetable strainers, food grinders, dehydrators, back when you couldn't get that stuff locally. And that was before Fleet started carrying it, and then Gander Mountain moved in and they carried all of that. And then along came Amazon. You know, it wasn't very long before we weren't able to compete with any of those people. So we got out of that business. And then I added a bedroom onto the back of that cabin. We're now renting it out as an Airbnb. We just started last summer, just testing the waters and basically booked every day that we had it open. So we had that Summer Kitchen Supplies, and that was in that 16 by 20 cabin before I put the addition on. And then when what had been the On Your Way Cafe next to the 71 Mart, the gas station, that was for sale. So we thought, well, let's get a commercial storefront. So we bought that building, and then we moved Summer Kitchen Supplies in there. And before too long, I had renovated the kitchen and turned it into a commercial. What started out as a sausage kitchen, I was making custom venison sausage for people and got tired of that in a hurry. So then we got this idea to make pasties.
Yep.
And so that was on a trip out to New York, visiting some of Peggy's relatives out in Rochester. So we went across the UP, Michigan, and had these pasties. We didn't really know what they were, but we loved them. Kids loved them. And on the drive back, I just said, you know, I bet you with my smoked brisket, because we had a big commercial smoker at the time, we were smoking briskets and things, I bet I could make a pasty that would be superior to what we've eaten. And lots of different recipes and variations, and ended up with the Turtle River pasty. So mm-hmm. we probably ended up over the years with like 8 different varieties mm-hmm. of pasties. So yeah, that was an adventure. We made pasties for about 6 years. And I figure I made about 60,000 of them all by myself and just got burned out, I guess, and decided, well, I was pushing 60. It's time to get out of the retail food business. Mm-hmm. And that's when Backwood Basics was born.
That's Mark Schultz. He lives in Turtle River. And in addition to making the world-renowned Turtle River pasty, he is an inventor, something that has now grown into his business, Backwood Basics. Have you always been an inventor type person?
Yeah, I've always been one who, whenever I do something, I'm always thinking, how can I do this easier? How can I do it more efficiently and more inexpensively? I'm always trying to think of a way to do things better. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how that started. And then we've also always had a passion for gardening. So, okay, how do we make gardening easier, more efficient, more enjoyable for people? And that was kind of the initial push, is to help promote a more self-reliant lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So it's evolved. It's not only gardening now. It's evolved into other outdoor living activities and things. I wrote a book. I designed a canoe that I wrote a book on, how to build it out of 4 16-foot 2x4s ripped into quarter-inch strips. And we do other things that are non-gardening related. I just built a camper. Last summer, we went to the North Shore. We went to Grand Marais. We tent camped. And I realized, I think our tent camping days are kind of over. I thought, to get off the ground would be nice. We used to have a scamp and sold it when we kind of outgrew it. And then we bought this Honda CRV and realized it can only pull 1,500 pounds with it. So a scamp is kind of out. Even a pop-up was out. So I thought, well, I'm just going to design. We just bought a utility trailer for hauling things. I thought, well, why can't I design a camper that'll fit on our utility trailer when we want to use it for camping? And then when we don't, we want to use it as a utility trailer, we'll just slide it off. And that's what I did. So I made this, it's like a teardrop type camper, but it's 5 feet high, 5 feet wide, 10 feet long. It has a full-size bed in it, and designed that, built it September and October, put about 110 hours into it. Peggy and I slid it off onto the trailer, photographed it, slid it off into the pole barn just in time for the snow. So it was actually snowing the day we did that. So we never got to use it, mm-hmm. but I built it. So I'm intending to write a book on how to build this little portable, lightweight camper. The whole thing, the camper and the trailer and everything, I brought it up to the recycling center and put it on their scale. So it weighed in exactly 1,000 pounds. Yeah, we're excited. We can't wait to use it now.
You're such an engineer.
Well, seat of the pants. Most of my designing is done at 4 a.m. when I can't go back to sleep. And I know I'm not going to go back to sleep. So I sit and I try to think, okay, how am I going to make that work? What's the best way to do this? What kind of materials do I need? And I'm big on keeping costs down because I'm cheap. That's kind of fun. In fact, I was at Menards today. I just bought some lumber because I'm building you've spent time with Paul Hunt, so you're not too squeamish about composting toilets.
But right.
I'm designing one that's a separating toilet that's very inexpensive. It's just 2 buckets and a wooden box. So that's my next. I'm hoping to prototype this and build it and then maybe write another book about it. Do a video at least on how to make it. So we've done a lot of videos on products and projects. Probably 80% of our business is ideas that we give away for free. So the planters that we were making, these, it's called the Garden Stream. We have larger planters for larger crops like tomatoes and peppers and stuff. And those are the ones that have the float valve in the box that you can regulate the water. They're bottom watering.
So these are self-watering.
Self-watering, yeah. But the new product is this microgreens planter that you can grow a crop of sunflower shoots and pea shoots on your countertop or your tabletop in the winter. And that's bottom watering, but we got rid of the float valve and all of that for this. And it's just a cup that connects with a piece of tubing. You just pour water into the cup, so you bottom water from there. And they work really well. So that's a product that we actually are trying to market now, because although it's fun to do all this stuff and share ideas and do stuff for free, my wife thinks I need to stop being good for nothing, I guess.
It's nice to make money, too. Yeah. Could a person grow herbs on their countertop?
We're actually growing cilantro and basil right now.
Yeah.
We have those under a grow light because they need a little bit more light than the microgreens. The microgreens, the beauty of that is they only need ambient light. So you can grow them right on your countertop. They grow right here, and you can have a crop in 10 days. But with the herbs, it takes a lot longer. So I just started some lettuce, so I want to see how those do, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's fascinating. So you're going to write a book, it sounds like.
Yeah. I've written the one on the canoe. I want to write one on the camper and then one on the composting toilet. And then I've written a much longer book that's about food, kind of food, our diet in general, and our experiences in Africa, and kind of about contentedness, about how we've kind of lost touch with the fundamentals of life, and, you know, that our ultra-modern society's really trivialized a lot of the basics of life that helps to keep us more content, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I've written a book about that, too, whether that ever gets published or not. I don't know.
Did you already have that mentality, or was it, you had mentioned that you were in the Peace Corps, was that quite influential for you, or would...
Oh, very influential, yeah.
As far as that.
Yeah. One thing about Africans, Central Africans in particular, we were in the Central African Republic, which is probably one of the poorest countries in the world. People really are very self-reliant, and there's something called appropriate technology that people use what they have available to them to make their lives as efficient and productive as possible. And so we adopted that appropriate technology approach to our products and trying to keep them simple and basic using easy to find materials. So that was a big part of it. And then just seeing how people lived and how all they had was each other. So really they've just found joy in each other. And I'd like to see more of a return to that. Mm-hmm. And just building community. And that's a big part of what Backwood Basics is about, is building community and bringing people together, sharing ideas.
You talked about a sense of community.
Yeah.
That Turtle River has that sense of community just within itself.
It really does. And Turtle River Day really highlights that. I'm glad to see that it's continued as long as it has. Mm-hmm. That really brings the community together. And it's evolved from its origins.
Are you speaking at the Back to Basics event this year in
Yes,
Pine River?
I am.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about winter tabletop gardening. It's not only the microgreens, but we're going to be talking about growing herbs, using our planters, and then growing fodder for chickens right on your tabletop. You grow a crop of fodder, which is, it's a bunch of seeds. It's flax and millet and rye and clover and peas and buckwheat. And you grow them for a week, and you have plants about 6 inches tall, and you just take the whole planter out, soil, roots, and all, and just tip it out with the chickens, and the hens will have it gone, like, by the end of the day. Everything. They'll eat the potting soil and everything. So it's really a kind of a neat way to add some greens to their diet in the middle of the winter. I just think in the dead of winter here, December, January, it's time to give it a break and move indoors and try not to keep gardening outside and keep heating a building and stuff. So just take your gardening operation indoors. So that's what we're about with this presentation.
I love it. Well, we'll watch for the next innovative thing to come out of your business.
Yeah, you never know. Never know what's going to come out.
I know. Is there anything else you want to add about Turtle River, about living in Turtle River?
Yeah, just great people. Yeah, we really miss Gary because he was the heart and soul of Turtle River. And
Gary Bird.
Being the mayor, and he always won re-election based on the No Progress platform. But Gary was the kind of guy who, I remember when he was terminally ill and I brought him over a bag of pasties. And I told him about this idea for Backwood Basics. I said, Gary, I want to get out of the food business. And I've got this idea, and told him about it. And I remember he just looked at me and said, if anyone can do it, you can. And I know that was the attitude he had for musicians that would come to him. And he would record for them. And he was always so encouraging to people. And, you know, we really miss him. And, you know, he's a great neighbor. And there's just a lot of other people like him in Turtle River.
That's Mark Schultz. You can find more about his business, Backwood Basics, by going to backwoodbasics.com. And you can find him at the Back to Basics event in Pine River, February 15th. Let's Visit's made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.
So Ruth and I've really wanted to move back for a really long time, but the barrier has always been jobs. Ruth had applied for a position at BSU, been accepted, but it didn't work out at that time.
I got the job the week I found out I was pregnant for the first time. And so with maternity leave, being a visiting professor, it just didn't work. And at the University of Wisconsin River Falls, they were like really easy about maternity leave. I actually didn't take any official leave. They just condensed my classes, and I taught some online, and so, yeah.
What did you teach?
Geography. My specialty is, my actual research is in snowfall, so it's kind of nice to be surrounded by snow. Everyone else hates it. I kind of love it. So I was looking at snowfall trends over the last 150 years, just to see how they've changed and why. I'm trying to link it up with some of the ocean patterns, because that pretty much drives all of our precipitation. It's really from the ocean and how it sloshes around. So yeah, and it tends to slosh in certain ways. The ocean tends to slosh around, and it'll kind of slosh like a bathtub. That's how we always talk about it. And it'll slosh to one side and then to the other, and so it'll, when the Pacific Ocean is sloshed in this way, we tend to get a lot more snow, and when it's sloshed this way, we get less snow. And with global climate change, we're seeing the tendencies to slosh in a certain way a little more often. But that's just one pattern, and then there's another ocean pattern in the Atlantic and another in the Arctic, and all these ocean patterns sort of competing, and so we end up with a lot of snow or not as much snow. It's really fun, but it's difficult to actually see what's happening in the long term with all of these trends overlapping.
Ruth Baker and Jeremiah Lind grew up in the Bemidji area and have returned to the north, specifically to Turtle River, with their children. And Ruth is home with the kids while she awaits that next professorial job at an area university. And Jeremiah works out of the home for a solar company that's based in California. And they live right across the street from the old Salem Hall in Turtle River, which is quite appropriate. He's a playwright and a community organizer, and they're usually planning something.
We did want Turtle River initially, but there are like never houses for sale in Turtle River. So we were looking, and there just nothing came up. And so the second this did, we moved on it.
I've been a fan of Turtle River since my youth. Some of my first memories of Turtle River were swimming on Turtle River Lake. So I've always really liked the area. I like how it's sort of contained, you know. It's a community unto itself, and that was something I didn't realize, I guess, until much later that, it is a town. It seems like just a group of houses, but it's a town in and of itself. And later, going to events like Turtle River Days and listening to Maggie Carlson talk about the history of Turtle River, and, of course, being friends with Gary Berger, you sort of learn the intimacies of the town. And there are a lot of artists that are around this area. And part of it, I think, is the isolation, the being able to just be alone and think and not have constant traffic. And it's really amazing to go from living in St. Paul to here and just have that difference in sound and have places for your dog to roam around and not bark at people. And It's just a different kind of lifestyle. And I think that for creative people, it really helps to have that sense of calm and separation and a place of your own. What is the Virginia Woolf quote? Every writer needs a room of one's own. Mm-hmm. Maybe for artists writ large, you need a place of your own to be able to feel safe and nurtured and comforted.
Right.
Well, and I think that's what Turtle River does too, is it fosters that as a community. They come out to like the art and craft sale that they have at the town hall every year. It's just filled with everybody who lives around here and buying each other's stuff and supporting each other's work and going to the kiln openings when the pottery is done.
Yeah, over at Jeff.
At Jeff Berger's house, yeah.
So have you guys gone to that?
I haven't made it to the kiln opening, but I've looked at his pieces around here.
Yeah.
He has some really beautiful bread. The pottery pieces that like shape the bread for you, and I really want one. I almost asked for it for Christmas, but instead I got the Sue Carlson's.
Jeff Berger, Sue Carlson, Don Stendera.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like you... And it sort of happens in Bemidji when you, you know, go shopping, you run into people you know. But it's also really amazing just meeting people in Turtle River, and it's part of the location and part of just knowing people is that you meet people and then you find out how you're connected. So when I went over to the craft fair and met Sue Carlson for the first time in face-to-face, then I was like, oh, wait, are you Eric's aunt? She explained that yes, she was. And so even people you've met for the first time, you find those connections and the reasons why you're in the same place and doing the same sorts of things.
So I heard you're going to be doing something at the Old Salem Hall.
I did my world premiere of my original show last year there in July. And yeah, I have my next show scheduled for there in May. So my next play is going to be called Major Depression Loves General Anxiety. And it's a two-person show that's sort of absurdist mental health comedy, tragic comedy.
Yeah.
Sort of how it's panning out. Still on track to produce a show a year. Having a venue right across the street is certainly helpful.
I like that venue, and it's nice because it feels really full.
Yeah.
Even if it's not that many people, you still feel like it's a big crowd.
And it's intimate. That's what I found doing my one-person show was that we had about 40 audience members, but it felt full and responsive, and you could make a connection, and I really like it.
There's so much support out here for the arts.
Exactly. People show up. Yeah. People show up when you have stuff here.
So this year, actually, I'm trying to create a series of events, so I've booked every second Saturday in the hall. Really, it's just an effort in community building, and also everything that we're doing, we're collecting money for different organizations and different causes. Last weekend, we celebrated Ruth's birthday a day late, but we were also raising money for the National Immigration and Justice Foundation. So that's something that I've always been interested in as an artist, and it's something as a community member I'm trying to do, which is just marrying the idea of charitable giving and organizations and events so that we're getting together, we're having a great time, we're doing awesome stuff, but we're also helping somebody while we're doing it.
That is Jeremiah Lind. He and his partner, Ruth Baker, live in Turtle River, Minnesota. They happen to live right across from the Old Salem Hall, which is an event space that they have now booked for the second Saturday of every month for the next year. Living across from the hall is a great opportunity for somebody like Jeremiah, who's a playwright, but can also present little hiccups, like the story you're about to hear, which really did capture Turtle River living for me.
We came home on like a Saturday afternoon, and there was like a wedding reception here, and there were cars all along the road and all along Main Street, and we were like, what? And our chickens were underneath all of the cars. They were just wild, and we had never had to like call them back to the coop before. They just come back at nighttime, but so we're out there like trying to like give them treats and stuff. So that was the day that I said we need to get a bell, and we had a bell, so now when I go out and give them treats, I ring the bell and they come running. So now if I need to call them back, I can just ring the bell and they all just come running.
We Pavloved them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your chickens.
Classic conditioning.
Yeah, it was really easy. I mean, we just did that a couple
That's
times
amazing.
And all the chickens come running.
So. You want to stay here for the duration?
We want to stay here for a while. You know, we've sort of reached the limits of how sustainable we can be in this space, but our ultimate goal is to be sort of food independent, and for that we need more land. So we're really enjoying it right now, but we're going to sort of reevaluate things in about 5 years or so and see.
We would love to stay in Turtle River, though.
That was Ruth Baker and Jeremiah Lind. Those little voices you heard in the background were two of their kids, Victoria and Arthur. And of course, Leroy, the dog. I'm Katie Carter, listening to Let's Visit on Northern Community Radio. We are visiting Turtle River this month and meeting people who live in this really cool place in northern Minnesota. Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.